Hi everyone, I'm Lindsay, your usual host, and I'm really excited to welcome you to a new limited series of the Food for the Future podcast called Food is Medicine, featuring diverse guests from five different regions of the world, providing us with some fascinating perspectives on food, nutrition, human rights, and much more. So now I will pass it over to World Food Forum colleague Christina, who will lead us through this fascinating series. Enjoy!
Cities play a crucial role in shaping food systems. Through the implementation of policies and actions, urban governments can help define what foods are available on the market and at what cost. Having policies that support the availability and affordability of food is increasingly critical, as more than 50% of the global population live in cities, with this number expected to increase to 68% by 2050. Cities, however, tend to rely on rural agriculture and imports to source their food and are quite vulnerable to change. In this episode, we are joined by Rehana Farkunda, who works as a volunteer in Greenway Society with youth mobilization and engagement in Afghanistan on climate action, food systems, nature-based solutions, and climate for people and the planet. She has also organized many seminars and training programs about climate change for students in Kabul University. We dive into the interrelated topics of climate change, urban governance, and the role of youth in shaping urban food systems. Welcome to the podcast and thank you very much for being here. Could you tell us a bit about your background, what inspired you to become involved in Greenway's work, and also your work as a youth climate activist?
At first, I want to thank you for inviting me in this program. I was a student in Kabul University studying environmental engineering faculty, and it was my choice to study this field and to work in this field as a volunteer because Afghanistan needed scientific personnel to work for the environmental. It's like everyone breathes air, but nobody cares about it to keep it clean. So this has always inspired me because everyone uses natural resources, but they don't keep it safe. And my work as a volunteer in Greenway Society was to aware people of climate change. We organized lots of symposiums, many seminars in Kabul University, and also we draw some wall paintings all across the city.
Thank you for sharing that. It's always good to hear about people's background and what's led them to the work they're doing. So with this in mind, in your opinion, how do environmental and social factors shape the food system and food security in Afghanistan and more widely speaking, Central Asia?
Well, at first, I must say that there's a strong relationship between changes in weather patterns due to climate change and the ability to grow crops. Also, in many ways, climate change also appears to act as a catalyst for trying to fix other changes in the household. And when it comes to Afghanistan, agriculture is the largest and the most sector, with over half of the population owning or managing agriculture, land, and gardening. So the most vulnerable groups to climate change, in fact, in Afghanistan will be the poorest, such as farmers and livestock keepers, as they are the least able to adapt this weather and the situation. Not only that, casual laborers and civil servants are also affected, even though their livelihood are not a function of agriculture production directly. And for example, I must say that the most common problem in Afghanistan is that the agriculture in Afghanistan is more traditional. Farmers are in, you know, like growing crops and agriculture in a very traditional way. Their products are not as much as they can sell to markets. It's just produce and products for their family. When it becomes the climate change and all the hazards, you know, floods, like droughts, they are in the directly vulnerable groups.
Okay, that's really interesting. So then how would you say urban food systems are influencing and also being impacted by climate change, particularly in Kabul?
Yeah, you know, there is a very popular idiom among Kabul city people, and it says that Kabul should be without gold, but it shouldn't be without snow. And when it comes to climate change, because Kabul city is located in a place that affects all the provinces in Afghanistan, like the climate change, occurrence of snow melt related to drought caused by reduced winter snowfall in parts of the Hindu Kush Mountains, that is a very popular and also very important mountain for Afghanistan and for Afghan people that are primarily affected Kabul and surrounding regions and provinces. These area produce much of the country's vegetable, fruits, cereals, and also the dry fruits, which are a very important part of Afghanistan economics. So these are dependent on irrigation from the Kabul River, which feed by snowmelt from Hindu Kush Mountains. And when the climate change and when the drought comes, it affects all the provinces in Afghanistan. It affects the people, and also it affects the economy in Afghanistan, because Afghanistan is a poor people. We have less exports to other countries.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You can really see how everything is interlinked. Let me now pass to Valentina, who has got some more questions for you, Rehana.
So, Raihana, thank you very much for being here today. Are you aware of any innovative projects in Kabul, perhaps that you have been involved with, that are aiming to help urban food systems become more sustainable and reduce their time impact?
Valentina, I must say that before the collapse of the previous government, Afghanistan government and also the World Food Bank had a lot of programs, had a lot of projects in this field because of the climate change and also to help our urban food system become more sustainable. But now, there was NEPA, National Environmental Project Agency in Afghanistan, that were working very well, that there were FAO projects and programs for people. And also not only that, the NGOs there, but it was very productive. I would say my NGO that I was working was Greenway Society. We had lots of programs. We had lots of working for awareness of people. But now, unfortunately, I must say I don't have any idea. I don't have anything that is there, any project now also in Afghanistan or not, unfortunately. So I cannot say anything about this.
Yeah, I understand. Well, let's say in the context of Kabul, why is it difficult for cities and regions to address the relationship between food, health, and inclusion?
As I said in the previous questions, Afghanistan is among the poorest people in all over the world. Most of people in Afghanistan have great knowledge about this field. We do not have educated people. We do not have personnel to work on this field. They are, but they are very less. Also, the lack of education, the lack of security, these are all the things that it's difficult for cities to address the relationship between food and health.
Yeah, absolutely understandable, Rehana. So let's finish with the last question. You are involved with youth climate activity work in many ways, as I've just heard. And of course, as this is what WFF is all about, a platform for young people. Our final question for you is, what do you think is the role of youth improving sustainability in the urban food system? And what does the next generation food and climate advocates need from those in power today?
I think Afghanistan now needs the most is the people who are well-educated in this field, who have enough information about the climate change, and also scientific information about climate change, and also the sustainability of food systems. I must say that in my field, the Faculty of Environmental Engineering is established very early, a few years. So we do not have enough personals. We do not have enough youth to talk about this topic more widely. And this is the thing that Afghanistan needs most. Afghanistan needs more education in this field, I think, and also work for youth people. You know, one of the problems among the young people in Afghanistan is that before choosing and fields, they always take, engineering, they always take economics to study, but no one just takes this environmental science or this agriculture to study in this field. So I think this is the most problem for us, that's why Afghanistan is among the most vulnerable countries, because we don't have enough educational persons to work in this field.
Great answer, Rehana. Well, once again, thank you very much for taking the time to be part of our podcast series, for that many people will listen to you and will definitely be inspired by your story and your activities. So thank you once again, Rehana.
Once again, thank you. Thank from you guys for inviting me in this program. I had some great time with you guys and it was a great experience.
To learn more about the World Food Forum, please go to world-food-forum.org. You have been listening to the Food for Future podcast. This takeover episode was created and produced by Christina Hagiani, Marta Pace, Valentina Vitale, Giorgio Sonnino, and Mario Gioldi. Additional production support by Lindsay Hook, Doc Ocato, Valentina Carlino, and Hugo Boris.